Hey guys, welcome back to Local Music Somewhere. I'm Jess with R Beats Radio, and today I am getting to know someone new. She is Jennifer Busco, an intuitive energy healer, but multi-talented, okay, because she's also into, you know, doing some cover acts and things like that. So let's just open up with you telling me just a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Jess. Hey. So I'm Jennifer, and I am an intuitive energy healer, but I'm also, I love, my two loves are spirituality, healing, and music, so I guess technically three. So I am an energy healer, but my love of music has brought me to be really connected in the music scene here in Charlotte. Yeah. So I've co-led open mics. I love just playing with musicians that I meet at other open mics and just really being a part of that scene.
Yeah. Well, so it's going to be an interesting conversation between the two of us today because, and I'm a musician, I know a lot of you guys know that already, but I feel there's a lot of overlap as far as when we're talking about intuition or kind of abstract, you know, concept, abstract thought, and getting that down into actual music form. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, think we can dig in today and do quite a bit of that.
Yes.
So, but before we get into that, I also wanted to let you guys know that Jennifer is going to be an incoming host on the We Talk Raw show. So yes, congratulations.
Yay. It's going to be so excited to be here.
Yeah. So how you feel about that?
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. So, all right, let me just start with a little story. Okay. Because, you know, I need to learn more about what you do. And, I would say that I had a little intuitive experience recently with a healer. It was actually last Christmas. I went down to Florida and had an energy healer named Brenda come in and do Reiki work, you know? Mm-hmm. And I will say, you know, I'm a cautiously optimistic person and I'm very open as well at the same time. So I also believe in the power of the mind. Okay. Just, we have very powerful brains and
we can all do
a lot more than we really know that we can. So I found it to be a really fun experience and it was wild. I had tingles going on. She told me about all kinds of things I didn't know and gave me, you know, a negative and positive stone to go home with, all those things, you know. So tell me, in your words, you know, what does it mean really to be an intuitive energy healer? It's probably
what time
a lot.
Is it, y'all?
Okay.
Ultimately,
in 30 seconds, let me set a timer. Okay.
Ultimately, I believe that, you know, we're made up of energy. And so your emotions are energy, your thoughts, like you were saying, your mind can create energy. Mm-hmm. And so your energy is either based in love or fear. And so if you have a lot of fear-based energy in your body, that can create blocks stuck in stored like areas. It can also create physical ailments. So if my knee hurts a lot of times, or I have like a chronic knee pain, it's because energy can't get to the knee. So your body needs energy to function. So a lot of times, if you have a chronic ailment in a certain part of your body, it's because there's some sort of stuck, quote unquote, low vibrational emotion, right? Like fear, stress, grief, sadness, something that's the emotions we don't like to feel all the time.
Yeah.
And they can be stored in certain parts of the body. Mm-hmm. And so your physical body can be really indicative of how your energy is. Yeah. And so energy healing is a way to try to begin, right? Miracles happen in one sessions, but sometimes it can be like layers of an onion where the energy sort of takes the fear-based energy and transforms it into more love-based energy. So simplistically speaking, energy healing is just placing the highest vibration of energy. So some people call it heaven, love, angels. I sort of see it as white light because to me, white is sort of angelic in heaven. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going into the body. And if your energy system is open and ready, you can really transform a lot of that fear-based energy. But if it is like a stuck emotion, you do have to like process that, embody the emotion, process it, and let it release.
Right. That kind of reminds me of yoga practice and things like that. And also it's a fact we have trauma stored in the body and all of these connections. Mm-hmm. I'm really, you know, interested in a lot of Eastern theology as far as, you know, maybe even acupuncture and things like that, where we're talking about lots of connections that maybe in the Western, especially here where we're at in America, you know, it's not as open of a conversation or
we're getting there.
We're getting
a little more coffee table talk.
And that's the thing. Like, I'm glad we're getting there too. Mm-hmm. But like with anything that's kind of a newer thing that we have to open our mind to, it's like, we always want to keep that kind of logistical connection, because I know that there are other people that might ruin that mission and like go like, you know, take it so to the extremes to where no one's listening to what they're saying. And it's like, this is really important stuff. You know, so.
Well, that's what I love about Charlotte, because we are a very fit city.
Yeah.
And so we love the hot yoga. I've taught hot yoga for the last 15 years, and it is huge in Charlotte. And I think that that's a great gateway to deeper, more interpersonal work. And so all this hot yoga that we do in Charlotte to stay fit, a lot of us, you know, just want to sweat it out, which is great. Mm-hmm. It can be a gateway to being like, I've noticed this about myself, or, I'm really curious on this pattern or this behavior that's been happening. So yoga is great because it does move the energy physically, but it can also lead you to a more interpersonal relationship, to taking it a little bit deeper. So a lot of healers were yoga teachers or yoga practitioners, because it's sort of like step by step by step.
Yeah.
And then you just sort of keep growing and growing. So the work that I do in sessions is more like yoga off the mat, if that makes sense. It's changing the relationship to yourself, but in a way that's not in crescent lunge.
Oh, yeah.
It's more like, oh, what traumas do you have, or what stuck or stored emotions, or what, you know, I merge or align with the client's energy, and I can feel, I go up and down their energy system, and I can feel, oh, something that happened when you were four. Tell me about that. I'm feeling like there was a reason why you disconnected from, you know, everybody in your life, and it made you feel disconnected to something bigger. And they'll be like, oh my God, when I was four, my girlfriend was so mean to me and she didn't invite me to the birthday party. So then we have to go in and really do some like inner child healing with that, where you sort of you almost become your own parent. You become that person that consoles yourself and heals yourself in a way. And so there's a lot of different perspectives in a healing session in this work, but it is all energy. When you are visualizing that you're recreating some sort of wound or something that happened, you're shifting your energy.
Right.
So it's all connected.
That's so incredibly interesting to me, because like I said in the beginning, I believe our brains are extremely powerful, and I feel like we're definitely underutilizing that. But you know, without direction or people that know or have that sense like that you would, because that's what fascinates me. Because if you're sensing energy, I'm imagining it's somewhat electric, you know,
Subtle though.
Subtle.
I feel it subtly when I feel in, and that's the part that's really hard to be a healer, because you have to trust those teeny, teeny, I'll have like a horse show up in someone's energy and I'm like, why is there a horse here? And then like
so
20 minutes
imagery
later.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, you got specific numbers.
You feel, like, see, hear, everyone's different.
Wow.
Yeah. And so a lot of healers have all of them. So depending on what's happening, I see, feel, hear things.
So is that kind of like a window that you can control to be open, or is it something that maybe you can't help but picking up on things?
For me, I have a routine where I ground, I connect to something bigger. I like honor your spirit, my spirit, the bigger, greater spirit. And so I have a little 30-second ritual that really helps me align more quickly. But I will walk by somebody in Harris Teeter and be like, ooh, I'm drawn to their hips. Something's going on there. I can feel their anxiety. And that's where it's really important to clear your energy, especially the more open that you get, because you can take on other people's
that's crazy to me.
Pains and joys, but wounds and pains.
Oh, I think I have experience with the latter. Yeah. Now that is really bizarre, because I mean, we overlap, I feel, so much.
Yeah, we're all connected.
Yes.
Our skin's not really a boundary or a barrier.
Yeah.
You know, we really do all connect.
Right.
And you know your ailments. Like, I never get headaches. I get like more belly aches or low back pain. So when I get a headache, I have to ask myself, I don't think this is mine. Is this mine, or is this somebody else's? And typically it will just clear. It must be somebody else's that's around me, or that I passed by in the store, or that I taught yoga to.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, and you just say a prayer or set an intention. Yeah. Like, if this is not mine, please
that's
clear it.
Wild.
Allow it to leave.
Wow.
So the awareness piece is huge with energy.
Yeah. You know, because when we're digging, you know, inward, I mean, because we're trying to, you know, like you said, alleviate, you know, things that are stuck or pains or problems, you know.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. It's like, give us the answers. Let's go. But part of what we do besides, you know, things like, I mean, I need to get back to it, but I used to practice yoga pretty consistently for a few years. And, you know, I would really go inward and try to self-analyze a lot. And that can be such a slippery slope, I think, because, you know, you want to be the best version of yourself constantly. You want to be checking yourself and just, you know, thinking about your intentions with everything that you do. Why do I want this? Why do I not want this? And, you know, on my personal journey, it kind of, I went through a period where I felt like I was falling deeper and deeper into a cavern further away from my actual self. Mm. And I felt this really big disconnect because I was going through a lot of changes with my opinions or like my view of the world or just like maybe some just major shift, right? And that's kind of what is kind of underneath this EP that I just did recently. Previously, I did a concept album in 2015. It was more of like a aggressive rock, angry piece. And, you know, and it all just came from a really raw place. You know, some family issues, real big stuff. But I feel like once you can get that out creatively and move past it, it's almost like an allowance to go to the next, you know, era, if you will, of your life.
Yes. I mean, creativity is an energy.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, it's an honor when you're able to be open enough to let that move through you. And that really, it fortifies the second chakra, which is like the low belly. So a lot of people that are creative have really, really healthy second chakras. And a lot of times in sessions, I'm like, are you creative? And they'd be like, well, I used to paint when I was little. I'm like, okay, you need to start doing that because I can feel that your second chakra feels a little tough. Oh, wow. So it really is, a gift, I think, for, you know, someone like you to be open enough to be able to receive that energy because it really just moves through you.
I feel like it does. And I feel like
filtered through your musical talent.
Ah, yeah.
Right? So it like moves through you, but it's filtered through like your human musical talent.
Right.
If that makes sense.
I feel like the longer I'm alive, that's just more and more true, you know, because in the beginning we think we might be a talented person or that it's just coming from our own imagination. And I watch, you know, my process change over the years, and I watch other people, you know, right. Even when I watch the Get Back series and I see Paul McCartney and he's got his guitar and I always say it's like he's sifting for gold when the line comes in. It's not that, you know, we necessarily are engendering this from ourselves. It's almost like it just kind of happens.
Well, I think that's the secret is to not be in your head when you're being creative, which I'm sure you know, right? When you create your best, most, you know, amazing things, you're like, where did that come from? I wasn't even thinking, it just moved through me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I always say about like the Beatles, like John Lennon wasn't thinking about what he was going to have for dinner while he was writing Imagine All the People. Like he was in it. It was moving through him.
Yes.
So I think that's where yoga and spirituality and music really combine and collide, is that you have to be in your body and present and not in your thoughts to let the energy move through you.
Right. Because I feel like we can totally choke like that stream, like with our own either self-doubt or
comparisons,
like
comparisons of what you think you should be or who else wrote something like that.
Or are they going to like it if I write something like this, or is this going to, or even thinking about the money end of something that you're doing creatively, which is something that I've really changed in my life the last couple of years. I just feel that, you know, when I make music, I don't want to think about selling it. I don't want to think about any of it.
Not while you're making it. Maybe after, right?
Not even after. It's just like, you know, I want to do it for the joy of it. And, you know, I just feel so fulfilled with it that part has always kind of strangled me in a way.
I almost like to think about it like you're like a straw or like a hallway. Like, okay, what creative energy can move through me today?
Yeah.
Whether that's through a piano, a guitar, or your voice. Mm-hmm. And just allowing. And that is a sense of you're honoring that there's something bigger.
Yeah.
You know, you're sort of connecting. There is a spiritual sense to creativity. I remember watching an interview with somebody that was in Prince's band, and like Jimmy Fallon, or he was on some talk show, and he was like, yeah, Prince would call us at 3 a.m. and be like, we're going to the studio. And the bandmate was like, why? And Prince was like, if we don't write this now, somebody else will. Like, there's creative energy that people are meant to receive.
Yeah.
Right? Like that America or people are meant to receive. So it's like, you gotta grab it while you can, or else someone else is gonna move through somebody else's body and system.
Right. No, I totally get that. Are you familiar with Rick Rubin's work? I can't believe I'm bringing this book up again. Wendy knows.
I know who he is, but I haven't read his book.
I feel like you would find it very much what we're talking about, because his whole thing is to let that creative process happen and to get out of the way. You know what I mean?
Because there's a lot of surrendering that has to happen. But yeah. You're a musician. So it's like, right. How do you build
ego
that?
Ego surrender. It's so hard, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing, you know, that just blows my mind constantly. I am always trying to balance the place of an ego in this life, right? Like, it's necessary to operate.
It's necessary to save your life. That's why it was invented. Like, back in the day in the jungles, the ego was there to be like, there's a lion, go in the cave.
Yeah.
And now we're like, we only have 100 followers on Instagram, and that's the ego. No, we're not in danger. It's just Instagram. So the ego definitely serves a purpose of like individuality and safetiness.
Right.
But I think that we can sort of let the scales tip.
Yeah. Yeah. To the more collective, you know.
Mm-hmm. And okay, I'll bring it up. Taylor Swift. I feel like she has balanced that sort of talent with when you see her talk, when you watch her on, you know, Instagram, and she's doing those little brainstormings of like writing music, and she gets so excited because she's figuring out the bridge. Like, I feel like there is no ego in her in that way, and just such excitement and joy. And that's why I align with her and why I align with her music.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, there's got to be ego in there.
And it always comes out, and we always have to, you know, check it.
We're
so
human.
It's always this balance. But I was curious today. Now, and you don't have to do this if you don't want to, but I had the idea of, you know, you've listened to my most recent creative project.
I have some words.
You have some words.
Yes.
Yeah, because I wanted to kind of tie that with what you think of that and, you know, maybe any type of reading or
I'm drawn to your hips. I felt that in the car ride over. I'm like, I'm drawn to her hips.
Ooh, that's so Bollywood
of
me.
Your hips don't lie, honey.
I want to
my
hips.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so let's get to you.
Okay.
So I've been listening to your album for the past like 3 days nonstop. And if I had to put like adjectives to it.
Yeah.
And this is just me being almost like simple with the way I'm going to describe it.
Okay.
It's like, it's floaty and creamy.
Ah, yes.
In a way where there's almost like, it almost feels like a mantra. Like it's like a relaxing, but still very talent, you know, like it's like so much talent and there's still a lot of feeling, but there's almost this like flow and floatiness to it that I really like. And of course it's like the electric drums and is it like Wurlitzer or electric piano? It's like that kind of that softness. There's not a lot of, like you were saying, your last project.
Yeah,
like
totally different. Yeah.
And I think you've balanced that way of having that like caramel feeling, but with energy and emotion, which I think is hard to come by as a musician. I think sometimes those really floaty albums can be not as much feeling. And I don't want to say boring because that's, you know, too harsh. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have that balance. And I would say, okay, so I know we should not compare because every, you know, album is their own unique person. But if I had to pick two people, can I share?
Yeah.
Okay, then I have to compare to. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Kate Bush meets Lana Del Rey.
Oh,
which
I like
that means you and Taylor Swift are best friends.
Oh, does
if
it?
You're Lana Del Rey. Oh yeah, they went to the Grammys together.
Take notes. I'm Lana mixed with Kate
Bush.
But
it's like there's almost like this 80s sort of Kate Bush.
Oh yeah, I love
vibe, like Molly Ringwald. I want to watch Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
But then there's that soothing sort of Lana, like smooth, creamy caramel energy to it.
Does
that resonate
that.
With you?
Yeah.
Good.
Originally the project was like, all right, I want to try something more poppy with some synth stuff. And I like the retro sounds.
Love it,
and like
and it
the
all
real,
sort of goes together.
Yeah.
Like all the songs sort of,
It's fun. It's almost like a dreamy, trippy time warp is kind of what I wanted to go for.
Dreamy. That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. So.
And I love, what's the one that you say about falling into the ocean with him or someone?
Oh, Room.
Yeah.
The telepathic love song. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that one. That's great.
That was my favorite one. That was the one that I wrote so fast and it came from like, I literally let that song happen.
I can feel it.
I did
I
not have to work on it at all. And I just.
That gave me the chills. I'm like, yeah, that was, you were definitely an open straw for that one,
it
sister.
And it's crazy because I have not had a writing experience like that in years. Mm. Like not since I was a teen.
Ooh.
You know, because I've had to work and work at putting things, it's like a puzzle when you're putting songs together. Mm-hmm. But I was just in the headspace where, man, I didn't have to do a damn thing to get that song.
And I
done.
Think the end of that song, it's like I wanted more. Like it's, there was like the little synthy thing that you do. I'm like, no, yeah. I don't want it to end.
I need
like 3 more minutes of just that part. It was like, oh, I think it's going to build into like some Pink Floyd. You're going to go into like the next of a song.
You're not the first one to say that. I'm like, maybe I should do a remix and just like have an extended cut.
Yeah, there's something there.
It
almost has like a soundtracky feeling.
Yes.
Like it's telling a story.
Yeah, I can see the stories in my head of these songs too. It's like, man, if I had a budget for videos, like I would, and that's what got me to doing, like in my last album, I have all these storyboards in my mind that really bring the whole thing together, the song and the visual, but there's no budget. So what I did was I set up, 2D paper cutout kind of puppets, and I did a stop motion, video that was like the music video, but like, very crude and campy and crass, but it came through and it worked. And I'm like, well, even though it's paper that I just cut out and colored with, ink or whatever, like it tells the message, right? So, but yeah, the visuals.
So what is your process like? Do you play all the instruments? Do you play with people?
Yeah.
Do you record in a studio?
Yeah, so I usually pretty much make the skeleton, first off. So, I start with the music. I start with either the chords or the root motion going on and then the melody with that. So as long as I've got those two going on, then I start to dress it. So I'll take it into Logic and I say, do I want it to be a piano thing? Do I want it to be a synth thing? Do I want, guitar, whatever? And I just kind of dress it as I go. And then typically after I get like a feeling out of it, that's when I start mining for lyrics or I start singing gibberish. I'll just kind of like, I'll be playing it and I don't know what it is. And I'm like, and sometimes it'll sound like an English word and I might hold on to it and say, well, that English word is supposed to be there. So let me just write the rest of the line that goes with that.
So
sometimes it's like that. Sometimes I have a more pointed objective lyrically, but it's a little different every time, but yeah, it's like a big puzzle,
So what's more exciting about this project to you than your last one?
Oh,
than
man.
The more angsty?
Like, okay, they're so different, and I really still love that last album that I did. I feel like I will never, that was like my Sgt. Pepper's, if you will. Like, it was just, I really was all in, and it was very deep stuff for me, very hard stuff. And then this album, this album is kind of like coming through a fog of just maybe the whole ground shifting beneath me. I had changes in my life. And I'm just trying to live my very best life and get to the bottom of it. I'm always in that pursuit, which is so Western of me to need a pursuit of contentment, which is impossible. But, this album, it just feels like a true, honest expression of where I am right now. Mm. And I've, turned a corner and been through some stuff. And yeah, it's very representative of.
I think that's important too. Like what you're saying is in the creative process, is letting the creativity evolve with you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because you're going to shift and change and go through transition. So you can't be like, well, this doesn't sound like my last album, right? Because you're a different person. So your system's different. And what's going to come through you might be more mature and more evolved as well.
Yeah.
And so not trying to compare to like what your last, which I know is sometimes as a listener, when you have like your favorite artist, you're like, oh, this album sucks.
Yeah.
But we have to really respect that.
Yeah.
That creativity evolves with us as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely does. So you mentioned my hips that aren't lying.
Yes. If I have to feel into you, that's what I'm drawn to.
Okay. So now what is that signifying?
So I'm like staring at your hips. So that's the root chakra, which is just your sense of, safetiness typically, but it's like, it can be childhood, tribal stuff, like work. Like if you got fired today, your root would be like, it would be totally out of balance. But it can also be indicative of things from your childhood or your past that are wanting to be worked on or healed as well.
I see.
But if I feel into you, I'm drawn to your right side, which is the future. So the right side of your hip, which there's something there that I feel like wants to be removed or released so you can like move into your future quicker. Uh-huh. So hips are about moving forward. Okay. So that's what I'm feeling, that there's something in there that wants to be released or healed so you can have more of an ease with the way that you're moving forward into the future.
Yeah. Well, I could definitely agree with that for sure. That's just wild to me that you can help pinpoint that, because I feel like a lot of us have general senses of our emotions, but we don't necessarily have the vocabulary to define it or even pinpoint where it is. And it's just like, wow, that's just an incredible gift to go up.
It's wild. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so.
It's something from like kindergarten, pre-K. There was some, it doesn't feel like it's a major thing. Otherwise, I wouldn't say it live.
Oh, no, let's get into it.
Something like someone stole your stuffed animal or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
My
There's
gosh.
Like some, it feels like age 4 or 5 that has just maybe created like a belief in you or something that's longing.
A belief that needs
like,
to get
yeah,
let
like
go,
something
maybe?
Like worthy or lovable. Mm. Just something
oh,
that.
Oh, totally. Are you kidding me? Yes.
Something in that area is what's wanting to.
I see. Yeah. That's always, and I feel like that's a common journey, self-love. You know, we get programmed up until age 7, and it's like when we, you know, whatever we learn in those first years,
undoing that,
it's so hard.
I think about it with my kid. I'm like, oh dear, what have I done to him since from era age 0 to 7? I don't even know. His poor subconscious.
Well, as long as we're doing our best, you know what I mean?
And everything's healable.
Yeah.
Everything is healable.
Oh man.
And workable. I think it's just a matter of.
That's good to hear.
I believe that.
I mean, you know, because it's rough out here. You know, it gets hard. It gets
and it's layers.
Yeah.
Right. So that little thing, it doesn't feel like I'm like staring at your hip. I'm saying like that thing right there that's living in your right hip. It doesn't feel like it's a big thing.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's an aspect or a layer of something that you've already been working on.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we'll just say a little prayer that there's just angels and your higher self just there, just gonna help you move that along or give you the awareness in the next couple of days of how you can.
Move through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, I appreciate that. Yeah. That's great. Well, this was so fun.
So fun.
We have to do this again. Okay?
I know. Yes. And now, thanks for having me. I'm so excited
to
be here.
Yeah, of course. And you're going to be back on We Talk Raw.
Yeah.
You know, and I do a lot of the Local Music Somewhere shows. So hybrid episode 1 has been pretty great and fun.
I love it. Yes. Thanks for having me.
All right. Of course, Jennifer Busco, and I am Jess with R Beats Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch y'all next time.
Thanks, y'all.